business, like Netflix or Amazon Prime. Businesses where once a customer engages with them, it becomes automatic and a part of their lifestyle from then on. But how do you build that forever transaction? I'm Robbie Kelman-Baxter, and I have been studying subscription and membership models for nearly 20 years. In this podcast, my guests and I share the secrets and strategies of the membership economy. Join us for Subscription Stories, True Tales from the Trenches. Loyalty programs seem to be at a crossroads. Industries including hospitality, financial services, and retail are going beyond the points-based programs we're so familiar with and exploring more personalized, emotionally engaging programs. Some, like CVS, Inspirato, and of course Amazon with Amazon Prime, have even incorporated paid loyalty subscriptions, which provide benefits in exchange for an annual fee instead of requiring customers to earn benefits through their spending and behaviors. Today's guest, Nadia Popova of Euromonitor International, follows the loyalty trends and provides insights across industries regarding best practices in building long-term relationships with customers. In this wide-ranging conversation, we talk about how consumer expectations have changed since COVID, why personalization is so important, and where subscriptions fit in the broader loyalty landscape. Nadia, welcome to the show.
Nice to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation, Robbie.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to this. I wanted to start by asking you how you came to be an expert in loyalty generally, and then specifically in loyalty programs.
Sort of a natural evolution of my work at Euromonitor International. I have been working for a number of years within the travel and tourism industry, and loyalty has been evolving and transforming so much that it kind of led me to a nice change of path of career development. And yeah, I absolutely love it. The engagement, the interaction with different clients across different industries is definitely benefiting me a lot, just to see different practices and strategies being implemented by these leading players.
Yeah, so interesting. So you came from the tourism industry, which has lots of different, we all collect points on our airlines and with our hotels. And so you kind of came from that background, it sounds like, and then expanded to look more broadly at a lot of different industries.
Exactly. And it's such a fascinating industry, isn't it? Because as you've pointed out, travel and tourism has been one of the main sectors that have been driving and, you know, that evolution of loyalty. So it's a great place to start and just see how, you know, these new business models are transforming the loyalty space altogether.
Yeah, loyalty programs are everywhere. And it seems like they're at a crossroads with, you know, almost every retailer, lots of manufacturers getting into the game and moving beyond the points-based programs that we're so familiar with. Why is there so much going on in the loyalty space right now?
Absolutely. I agree with you entirely. We're seeing a lot of companies revamping their existing loyalty programs, or those that have not yet launched, thinking about launching new loyalty schemes. And I think it's very much because the consumer has changed. Coming out of COVID, the preferences, the sentiments, the requirements, the lifestyle needs of the consumers have changed. And as a result of that, you know, loyalty programs have been transforming. And traditionally, if you think about a couple of years ago, transactional loyalty has been very dominant and continues to be, of course, especially now that we're talking about the rising cost of living. But there is a major shift towards emotional loyalty. And I think at the heart of that is, of course, the consumer and the requirement to have much more engagement with the brand and the demand, if you want, added value. And as a result of that, we're seeing this increasing need for experiential rewards, for, if you want, gamified type of rewards to make those loyalty programs more fun, more rewarding, and at the same time to deliver that instant gratification, which not necessarily all these traditional or legacy type of programs are able to deliver in this very dynamic environment, which has been shaped by the digitalization and digitally savvy consumers as well.
Yeah, really interesting. There's a couple of things that I want to follow up on. The first thing is you talked about consumers have changed as a result of COVID. What are the changes that you're seeing in terms of consumer demands and consumer expectations?
Well, I think the point, for example, when we talk about transactional loyalty, where you have, you know, discounts or monetary-based benefits, that mass strategy, that passive engagement that we usually tend to associate with transactional loyalty is no longer relevant for these consumers. They want something that is very personalized to their shopping preferences. And this is where, you know, these brands need to take into consideration, you know, their preferences, the frequency that they shop, the type of products that they're really interested in, the values that are important for these consumers. As a result of that, you know, the need for these programs to transform, to change, to adapt these needs of the consumers. And I think, like everybody else, as we came out from COVID, we've seen that we've started to reevaluate what is important for us. What is, you know, when we talk about health and wellness, for instance, the priorities that we want to drive, you know, as a family, with your peers, and how you want to kind of engage with these individual brands. So all these individual elements are coming to play an important role in terms of the level of engagement, the type of rewards that these consumers are demanding from loyalty programs.
Interesting. And can you give our listeners an example or two of existing loyalty programs that have evolved, experiments, maybe a couple of experiments that you're seeing that exemplify this move from what you call transactional and financially oriented to more emotional and relationship driven? Maybe a couple of examples?
Sure. I mean, they're different, of course, across the board when we look at different industries, but one that I particularly like is Ana, which is the airline in Japan. And they have been very much kind of thinking of developing a lifestyle ecosystem type of reward. And it's very much allowing members to earn miles for non-air travel activities. For example, this could be walking or taking public transit, transportation, or any other aspects that could be included as part of that. And I think Ana is one of the several airlines that has increased its partnership with non-travel companies since the pandemic began. The more travel companies that are offering these type of benefits, the more pressure their competitors will face to revamp their loyalty programs in a similar way. And I think why this is interesting for me is because traditionally you would associate, for example, car rental companies working with airlines or airlines and hotels, right? So here you're kind of coming out of that network and thinking, what else is important for my members and how I can relate to their needs, how they're traveling, and the importance of sustainability, for example, their day-to-day commutes, and how I can bring my company to contribute and support them, but at the same time, receive rewards on the back of that. So that's one example that for me is quite interesting.
Yeah, that is a great example. And it's interesting to me that Ana is, you know, the way that they're expanding, the forever promise, if you will, that they're tying their benefits to is around health and well-being in terms of lifestyle with walking or taking public transit, sustainability, health. They must know their customer very well and know that that aligns. But it's not an obvious one to me from, you know, the airline to wellness and lifestyle. I find that interesting that they're expanding into that.
Absolutely. Another example that I really like is Vitality by Discovery in South Africa, which is an insurance company. And what is interesting and quite kind of motivating when you read, when you see how they position their product, is that they very much are promoting a healthier lifestyle and they're rewarding their members for the behavior rather than the spend. So they would encourage their members to exercise, to drive safely, to shop, you know, thinking about health and wellness again, and also incorporating the behavioral economics as part of their platform in a way, incorporating hyper-personalization, tailoring the individual offers to that individual member. And listening to some of the interviews of their leadership, I could hear how for them, for example, they've launched a booking platform where members can book their flights, for example, and have a very big discount, but also they can use their face as an ID to book that travel. So again, making sure that the whole process is seamless, that it's easier, that they take into consideration all these aspects that are important for the end member. They're using gamification as well as part of that, where a major focus is on, for example, you can have a rewards multiplier and stuff like that. So this is an example of a company that is thinking outside of the box, going beyond their immediate industry segment of operation, and at the same time, very much supporting that healthy lifestyle of their members.
Yeah, quick definition of gamification for our listeners. When you think about gamification, when I think about it, I think about it as when a company introduces artificial ways of driving engagement and habit formation before the actual organic benefits kick in. So I sort of think of it sometimes as a stopgap measure to drive the right habits. How do you think about gamification and when it should be used?
For me, gamification is when these different companies or loyalty programs are using game-like types of, you know, elements as part of their proposition of their rewards, whether they're using video games or any other fun elements to drive that engagement and that experience. So this is where your scoreboards are coming to come to play, challenges, different badges, you know, metaverse, where you're bringing those different tournaments and you're kind of weaving into that the immersive experience as well. So that is my take on gamification and the use of different types of elements into the loyalty program.
Yeah, interesting. Now, I know you told me you're based in London. You have a very global perspective. I know in a previous conversation, you mentioned some of the gamification you're seeing in the Middle East. And I'd love for you to share what you're noticing in that part of the world with regard to loyalty generally, but more specifically, this idea of gamification to create this excitement and fun in loyalty programs.
Absolutely. I think, you know, looking at some of the statistics from our research at Euromonitor International, we're seeing a lot of developments and potential double-digit growth within the gaming industry, online games, video games. And Middle East, I think it's one of the biggest regions that by 2027 is expected to show that growth. And as a result, of course, there is a huge demand, a lot of investment, but also a lot of companies incorporating those gamified type of rewards as part of their proposition. A lot of banks have been kind of toying with gamification, trying to kind of nurture that engagement with the end consumer, with the members in UAE in particular, but also Saudi Arabia. And they have been, you know, for example, if you reach a particular goal in terms of exercise, you want to swim or run, or this is something that I'm seeing across the board, that it's not necessarily only to provide rewards or offers or incentives that are falling within your immediate kind of industry or segment or category that you're operating. It is all about going broader, thinking about what is important for my customer base, what is their profile, right? And from there, kind of thinking what I can do as a brand, as a company to facilitate, to support, and also drive more engagement with my product. So I think a lot of these banks I've been seeing, they could provide rewards, you know, savings accounts that they can have discounts or any other benefits that could come as part of that. And it has been fantastic. In some cases, the uptake was growing double digits in terms of promotion, in terms of acquisition of new members, very successful strategy for that part of the world, not least because you have a very dominant young population, which appeal and these strategies are appealing with consumers, whether these are the millennials or whether this is Generation Z. So all that kind of resonates with them very well. And organizing, you know, different tournaments or competitions, that all kind of brings that fun element that I was telling earlier that kind of transforms and makes those loyalty programs more dynamic, a little bit more kind of up to date rather than just kind of the strict platforms or business models that we're used to as consumers from years ago.
Really interesting. I mean, I'm hearing this theme of health and this theme of sustainability and, you know, I'd imagine kind of more environmental well-being as trends, you know, from industries as disparate as insurance, air travel, and now banking and even, you know, video games and gaming, all thinking about these things, maybe as a means of attracting this younger audience.
Absolutely. Definitely. I think that is what is our kind of observation and the results from our different surveys that we conduct and also our research. And it's very much about, you know, those consumer segments, whether, as I said, millennials that strongly favor those experiences and they demand, you know, more customized experiences that are tailored to their preferences, to their tastes. And, you know, on the back of that, they drive that diversification of the types of experiences that we're seeing that are evolving as part of the proposition and the reward structures of loyalty programs.
You mentioned, you know, referred to the research you've done at Euromonitor International, and it's your job, right, to notice and track trends and also develop insights and perspectives on what those trends mean. What are some of the pieces of advice that you might have for organizations thinking about building deeper loyalty with their consumers, especially, you know, those who've been using points-based programs and maybe those who haven't done it yet and are building, you know, version 1.0 in a 3.0 era? What are kind of the big ideas that you would be recommending right now?
That's a great question, Robbie. And first and foremost for me is understand your customer. Create a big data, use your big data to understand, to profile them and see what are the requirements, what are the preferences and how they behave when they interact with your brand, how often they shop. So once you build that picture, then you can start kind of strategizing and then you can start developing that key areas and those priorities. If we talk a little bit more general, of course, I think for me, reviewing what is happening today and how loyalty is being transformed with on the back of the impact of Web 3.0 or digital natives or how we interact with loyalty programs altogether, I think a couple of key aspects come to mind. The first one is rethink your reward pyramid. Embrace emotional loyalty to drive more added value and exclusivity. Weave in the social impact in your programs in order to kind of deepen that engagement and that brand advocacy. Think about what are these local communities that you can potentially support, help, and allow your members to contribute as part of that. Think about bringing more experiences, but they need to be more exclusive, more immersive, more entertaining. It depends on the industry that you are, but it could be, for example, co-creation of a product. A lot of consumers are very interested in co-creation. It could be that it is something related to more travel experiences. It could be that, you know, it is more of a exclusive event or greet and meet opportunities with people that are important that your members can learn about or learn from. It could be anything else that your members are asking for. And I think that's where, you know, that would provide better opportunity to understand how you want to shape those experiences and what type of experiences you offer. It could be that it is a workshop. It could be that it is something related to arts and cuisine and entertainment. We're seeing a lot of hotels bringing those experiences because they directly speak to the travelers who go on holiday and perhaps that might be something in addition that they would like to kind of experience. Behind the scenes tours, there is so much when we talk about experiences, for sure. I would say aspire to create a loyalty ecosystem where you can have multiple services that go beyond the immediate industry of operation that you have as a brand. Work with more partners, but also think about how you can drive that interoperability of your rewards, i.e. that you can allow your member to collect these rewards, but able to exchange or use them with another brand outside of your vertical, outside of your ecosystem, or outside of your industry that you operate, immediate ecosystem that you're operating. And that would make your reward more relevant. And that would speak directly to your member. I would say also leverage hyper-personalization, because in the past, we have been kind of a lot of the propositions of the loyalty programs were very much one size fits all. This is no longer viable, isn't it? It's more about knowing what is the purchasing history, social media interaction. Are you rewarding your members for providing their opinion, their feedback? And then tailor that loyalty offer to those needs. I would say also drive that seamless and instant redemption, you know, reduce friction. A lot of the feedback and insights that come through our loyalty survey that we do at Euromonitor International is about, well, it takes too long to earn the rewards, or there is too much communication, or they're not fun, those loyalty programs, right? Or it is, you know, to help, you know, what they demand from these loyalty programs is to make my shopping experience better. So for me, you know, that's the feedback. So how do you act on that? Reduce the friction across all the channels, right? Don't forget, if you're in operating online, don't forget the high street. Or if you're on the high street, consider that that is replicated as a strategy online and drive that instant gratification. Don't allow or facilitate for your member to have access to the information about their rewards instantly. They purchase something and immediately that information is on the app. How much they have saved, what they can instantly use, you know, as a result of that, rather than to wait at the end of the month or, you know, quarterly to be able to check how many points or what they have as part of their profile. So I think these are some of the areas that I would say would be a great opportunity for companies to think about. Of course, with a caveat that it all depends, you know, the type of industry that you are, the type of product, the consumer element that I have mentioned, what they require. But on a more general level, for me, these are the key focus areas.
So to summarize, I mean, you had a bunch and this is gold, this last answer, you know, talking about co-creation, hyper-personalization, and reducing friction and getting rewards faster and letting them know what they're earning. Those are all so important. And I want to focus on one. I want to ask you about a company that I think is doing, you know, a bunch of these things pretty well, which is Nike. And I'm interested in, you know, I mean, they're kind of out there, but, you know, the non-fungible token-based program with customized shoe design. Can you talk a little about that and sort of what you're seeing them doing and what might be useful takeaways for our listeners?
Well, Nike is a great example of how they're tapping into the Web 3.0 space, if you want, and how they're expanding their loyalty program and what are the steps that they're taking to get there, right? I think they've launched a Web3 community platform, swish.com, which is, you know, very much about supporting and driving more inclusivity, isn't it? But also providing this really important marketplace where their members, creators, consumers can share opinion, they can explore, they can engage, but also use those different types of digital tools that, you know, Web 3.0 is famous about, whether these are NFTs, the non-fungible tokens, and allow for those folks to kind of have an opportunity to have that peer-to-peer interaction with like-minded individuals, right? And nurture that, which is so essential for a big company as Nike, isn't it? And, you know, having that blend, if you want, between physical and virtual immersive experience is a fantastic opportunity for them to kind of reiterate the importance and the power of their brand, their authenticity, you know, creating different real life events, you know, not only on Web 3.0, but also in the physical world. They have been, you know, thinking all this, you know, from all aspects of it in order to create that fantastic community that Nike is so famous. So for me, that is the part that really stands out quite strongly. And this is why we've seen that they have so many followers and people who are really appreciating what the company is doing. And it's very much about, you know, driving that engagement that I've mentioned earlier in our conversation when I said that more and more emotional loyalty is becoming so critical in the loyalty space and how essentially loyalty is transforming today.
Yeah, so interesting. Everybody should go look at swish.com and take a look at what Nike's doing as inspiration, I would say, for what's even possible. So, you know, this show, Nadia, is called Subscription Stories, and subscriptions are really all about building, you know, a formalized contractual loyalty relationship. And so I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you what you think about the subscription-based loyalty programs, the ones where the consumer is asked to pay upfront to get special benefits in order to shop more effectively, be more known, get a more personalized experience. So this is like, you know, Amazon Prime and Walmart Plus and RH Grey. What's your thought about the role of these premium subscriptions where you pay up front for those benefits rather than earning them over time?
Well, it depends again on the consumer preferences. And I would say in time when the cost of living in some markets continues to be a drag, this is quite important. I'm based here in the UK, in Europe, and this is an important question today when you talk about, you know, consumers and how they feel and how they're budgeting and how they're thinking about their shopping basket. And of course, that leads a completely different approach when they interact with brands and how much they can allocate for something like that, right? Other parts, of course, of the world, you know, the situation is slightly different. I think it's about differentiation, about exclusivity, about delivering something that a product or service that other members might not have if they're not subscribing to that company or that service, depending on what it is being offered. So for me, it's about that standing out from the crowd, but also delivering that exclusive service and product. I think it gives another element of the premium aspect, especially relevant for the luxury segment. And we've seen different examples of companies toying with that and introducing this as part of their offer in order to widen their reach in terms of consumers, but also to ensure that their product stay relevant, right? And we've seen here in the UK, one of the luxury departments, Liberty London, they have been introducing a subscription and, you know, as part of their loyalty program, which offers rewards, you know, exclusive content, invitations to events, and you also receive, you know, complimentary discovery boxes. I think it was 4 complimentary discovery boxes per year worth over £300, you know, trial-sized products curated by Liberty Beauty buyers. So it's very much about kind of, as I said, widening your reach and making sure that your members really enjoy their interaction with your brand, experience new products as part of your offering, you know, the discovery type of boxes, whilst, you know, saving funds towards larger ticket items because, you know, you accrue these different points and at the end you can, you know, buy something that is a higher price ticket, you know, product. So for me, it is very much about which segment, which category. Subscriptions work really well in the travel and tourism industry. And they have been, you know, an area that a lot of companies have been, you know, implementing as well. So for me, It's all about that. How do you stand out from the crowd? What works for you, for your audience, for your members, and what you really want to achieve out of that? So for me, when we talk about subscriptions in certain aspects, for me, it's all about exclusivity, quality, heritage, you know, the storytelling, which is kind of combined as part of, you know, delivering that service.
Is there room in this new world for organizations, whether they're in travel and tourism or retail, as we've discussed, for them to have, you know, points-based programs, premium subscription programs coexisting within the same organization? Or do you feel like, you know, if you're a luxury brand, you should be thinking about a premium subscription where you can really offer depth of benefits? And if you're a more, you know, play in a more cost sensitive space, you should do points. Is it either or? Is it both and? How would you advise companies to think about how far and how broad they should go with their loyalty strategy?
It all depends on the company itself and what exactly they're trying to achieve. Is it to retain members or is it to acquire new members, right? My assumption would be to retain the customer base, to kind of convert them into brand loyalists. I think that there is a space for the two under one umbrella, provided, of course, that these are managed in a very well and efficient way. And there is a good and clear differentiation what one provides and what the other delivers and why it is, you know, a subscription. Because the normal question would be of a member, well, I'm not subscribing, but I'm a member and I receive these rewards. What is the extra that I would receive if I'm to subscribe to that service? And is this really added value? So what is it for me that I can benefit from that? And then ultimately, of course, you know, how the financial results stack up there and, you know, in terms of revenues and whether this is cost effective for the company itself. But to me, it's an opportunity to test and to allow those two to live together under the umbrella of a particular loyalty program. What do you think, Robbie?
Well, I used to think one or the other, but I'm realizing that the points program, first of all, they're traditional. So a lot of traditional audience are familiar with them and like them and have already established the habits of point tracking and exchanges. And, you know, as you described, there are lots of ways to layer in additional emotion, fun, and unique rewards, personalized rewards in that structure. So there's a lot of room for creativity there for a particular segment. And I think that there's room for, in a lot of organizations, for this premium paid subscription, certainly for luxury brands, as you mentioned, because it gives you a little more space for exclusivity and really special experiences. But also, you know, Walmart just introduced a premium subscription and they're famously for everyone, right? They're very much for the average person. And what they're trying to do is say, hey, if this is already your habit, if you are already committed to Walmart as your primary place of shopping, raise your hand and let us know by paying us this premium up front. And you don't have to go through all the trouble of earning the points. We'll just give you the best experience from day one. Every time you come, we'll give you, you know, whatever. We'll give you delivery. We'll give you special discounts. We'll give you early access to, you know, highly sought after products. And so I think you're right that, you know, it starts with knowing your audience, doing careful segmentation, and also understanding the levers you have at your disposal with a free program versus a paid program, and then using them accordingly. And I guess the last thing that I would say that I would really advise listeners to think about is the more programs you have, the more people you have to manage, the more different channels of communication that you have to get right. And then you also have to deal with confusion in the marketplace. So it's an expensive thing to have multiple programs. So, you know, go into it with your eyes open.
Agree. Totally agree. Very well said.
Thanks for asking. Okay, we could keep going forever. And I, you know, I love talking to you and I'll definitely be inviting you back
if
you're up for it. But
of course,
it's been great. Oh, thank you. So one last thing, if you have a minute or two more, I would love to do a speed round with you if you're up for it.
Of course, go for it.
Okay. First subscription you ever had?
Amazon.
Your favorite subscription today?
Netflix.
The best perk of a loyalty program that you've seen?
That's a difficult one. There were quite a lot, but I think free flight tickets was probably the one that tops my ranking.
Free flight tickets. Me too. As a member of the World Tourism Forum's advisory board, what's your favorite travel destination?
Brazil.
And one piece of advice for a company trying to improve customer lifetime value through loyalty?
Know your customer and what you really want to achieve. That for me really summarizes it.
Yeah, I love that. Know your customer. Nadia, thanks so much for being a guest on Subscription Stories. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure.
That was Nadia Popova, the Senior Head of Loyalty at Euromonitor International. For more about Nadia and Euromonitor, go to euromonitor.com. And for more about Subscription Stories, as well as a transcript of my conversation with Nadia, go to robbiekelmanbaxter.com/podcast. Also, I have a favor to ask. If you like what you heard, please take a minute to go over to Apple Podcasts or Apple iTunes and leave a review. Mention Nadia in this episode if you especially enjoyed it. Reviews are how listeners find our podcast, and we appreciate each one. Thanks for your support, and thanks for listening to Subscription Stories.